All right. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
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 As always, we'll start with some praises. You guys see the screen. Feel free to just shout it out. Of course, I have to go ahead if you can.
We praise you, Lord, because you are the giver of our hope, joy, and peace.
Oh, yes. Our hope, joy, and peace.
We had fellowship last night. We talked about joy. So.
Yeah.
Very good.
We praise you, Lord, because you are the giver of all good gifts in our lives.
That's true.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Praise you, Lord, because you are the healer of the sick and ill.
Yes. Amen to that.
We praise you, O Lord, because you are our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help in times of trouble.
Yes, amen.
We praise you, Lord, because you are working all things for good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We praise you, Lord, because you are our promise keeper.
Amen. Yes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much because you are everything to us, everything that is good, everything that is helpful. You are a healer, you're a promise keeper, you're a refuge and our strength, our joy, our peace. So many things that we can't even recount in this short time or days or years, because you are just that good and so vast and so gracious in all that you do for your children. So we come before you with thankfulness and with gladness and with hope in this life, in this coming week. And we thank you again. We worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. A quick review of what we have been going through, or what we went through last week. Remember this, right? You are the light of the world. We won't spend too much time on it, but I think for the sake of just continuity, we should review really quick. Last week, we discussed at length for the past 2 weeks, that candle analogy. I think everyone really resonated with that candle analogy, right? We need everyone. We are surrounded by other candles, which give us light. And it helps us to be the light of the world. We talked about good works. If you guys remember that the good works is our light, and it reflects the beauty of a lifestyle, of a believer's lifestyle. By the way, anyone can interject anytime. We're just, if I forget anything, but these are some of the highlights that I remember. That towards the end, Pastor Alex was saying that we are imperfect Christians that Jesus is choosing to use as lights on display to this world, right? We're imperfect. And at the end of it all, it is about our true identity. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus was really shining the light on our true identity of who we are in this kingdom. Amen.
You know, Frank, I was thinking about this when when you and I get to soak in a passage and then it doesn't just leave you, right? You know, you soak on text for and you let it just percolate. Brew of coffee. The remnants, you know, stay with you. And I was thinking about that you mentioned the word identity. We talked about that. I think there's a dual nature when Jesus says to us, you're the light of the world. It's an identity statement, but it's also a calling statement, right? It's like you are both this, but that means this is your call. And when we talked about good works last week and we usually think, well, Jesus is the light of the world, which is true. But because we have Christ, we reflect, our whole identity reflects him to the world. And there's a calling thrust there that I've been meditating on. And it's pretty powerful if you guys ever thought about this, that is God's plan to reveal his light. It's through us. And it's through us where people will be able to hear the gospel. It's through us we'll be able to see Christ. Believe it or not, there's no plan B. Like, that is the plan. There's no other plan. And that was something I was thinking about, you know, even in this last week. Like, there's no other plan that God put in place to say, well, if you guys don't really shine, if you're not the light, then there's other ways that people can come to know Christ. There's like no plan. There's no plan B. There's like no option number two, right? If you will, like, God's call, his identity to us is you are the light. But the plan, which was in this passage, was, you know, through your lifestyle, through your good works, through your beautiful life, your good works, people will come to bring and give glory to God, your Father. Right, that's what the text says. That's the only option. There's like no other option. I guess that's what I was thinking about, you know.
Yes. Yeah. No, well said. There are no other options. There's no plan B. And because there's no plan B, this kind of leads into that whole light of the world. Because there's no plan B, when we talk about light and darkness, it had to do with the issue of the heart. Because without addressing the issue of the heart, we are not able to be the light of the world or salt of the earth or merciful or being God's representative to this world, right? A couple of things that as I thought through this, this is what I felt that we needed to share a little bit more, that with all the technologies and the systems that we have, men have only been able to manipulate the behavior and the appearance of morality, but they have never been able to transform the heart, fix the heart, circumcise the heart, right? That was the difference. That's why we are the light, because what Deuteronomy 36 said, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and that you may live. That the identity resides in the heart. The darkness that we were talking about was the darkness of the heart. The light that we were talking about was talking about the light in the heart. We are the light of the world because our heart has been transformed. And as a result, we are able to be the light to the world now because something has changed inside spiritually, not just the outside.
Yeah, I think that kind of harkened back to that concept we talked about, right? Like technology had advanced, you know, medicine had advanced, and then Yun said on that day that, you know, our ethics have advanced, right?
Yes. Yeah, everything has advanced.
Everything in the world feels like it's getting like brighter and brighter. But I think what you're saying here is like, but the heart is still in darkness.
Right? Yeah. It's the heart of man that the world has no solution for. They have solutions for everything, just about. But the heart, it is still at zero. Only Jesus, only God can transform our hearts. So I think we can all be thankful this morning and just be joyful and hopeful, because I pray that everyone here on the Zoom, that we're here because something happened in our hearts. It may have happened differently, but something happened that we cannot see, but something happened in our hearts. Yeah, and that's beautiful. That's our identity, that God has circumcised our heart and transformed our heart inside. Therefore, we're able to display the fruits of the Spirit. Not perfect, but we are on the journey of sanctification, of growing now. Makes sense, because this actually leads into Jesus' words on the very next verse, right? He begins to talk about the law, right? And this is going to be very, I think, more dense than before, but he's going to start talking about, after he has addressed our identity and the characteristics of a believer, he's going to introduce a completely new way of understanding the laws of God. And it will revolutionize their thinking and truly understand the heart of the law. And he's going to address the heart. And this is going to tease out in the next few weeks as well. I'm sure Pastor Alex and I will be talking back and forth about this, but we'll take verse 17 today. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Now he's going to use this law to reveal to continue to reveal their true identity. The audience whom Jesus is addressing, and also for us, right, as we are studying this passage. First and foremost, now Jesus anticipates the thoughts of the people, right? He's preaching this sermon, and he's setting the stage, and he's emphasizing the identity of a believer. This is who you are. You're the salt. You're the earth. You're the salt. You're the light of the world. And now he moves into the obedience and the issues of the law. He anticipates the thought in saying, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law." So he knows that they're thinking, Jesus, the king, is he here to give us a free pass? Is he here? Because he's so different, right? He's so progressive. He's against the Roman authorities. He's against the tax collectors, right? And our kings and our leaders. Is he here to do away with all the corruption of the Pharisees and all the laws? Is he here to just say, abolish all of it? So Jesus knows that's what they're thinking. And because the laws were so hard to keep, I think we can all agree, laws are hard to keep, right? So they're saying he definitely came to do away with the law, so that we don't have to follow the rules anymore. And my question is, after hearing the audience, after hearing them, after hearing Jesus talk about all the identities, all the goodness of this true identity being the kingdom, why would a person want laws to be taken away? Why were they anticipating that? Why would they even think, oh yes, Jesus came to abolish the law? So that question is asked to us, right? Why would a person just identify it, want laws to be taken away? Daniel, can you break us into groups? I think this is this would be a good discussion. All right, so why would a person want laws or law to be taken away? I think it's fascinating. I like this. I know why, but I like to know what you guys think. Anybody? You know, go ahead.
Yeah, we had a fun discussion with Milton and Natalie. It's a nice blend of age. Also, yes, with my mom here. Quickly recap, we mentioned how people want freedom, especially in the US, cultural freedom, independence is highly valued. So if there are laws, then you are not, you know, people feel like you're not free. Another one is that sometimes we might feel why the other people get to set the rules, either government or your parents, they are not better than I am. So why they, you know, we hate the feeling like they know better than we do. And then finally,
was it Milton or Natalie sharing that though, right?
I'll let you guess. Yeah. And then final point we shared in our group is sometimes we might not be ready to face the consequence. So we might admit we did wrong, but we just wish that we don't have to face the consequence. So so that's just a quick summary.
Oh, that's good. It's fascinating that, you know, we didn't talk about this in our group, but, you know, we know better than they do. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's, even if I'm going to set the law, I want to set it, right? If there's going to be a law, I would like to set it according to how I want it to be. Therefore, giving me the advantage, so the law favors me, swings my way, gives me that freedom, gives me that assurance, knowing that I can. This law is, I like this law, so maybe I can fulfill this law. So therefore, I want this law in place because it speaks to me. Yeah.
This law works for me.
And this law works for me, guys.
Those laws I don't like because they don't work. I can't keep those laws.
No. Oh, if I can't keep those laws, please abolish it, Jesus. That's why they're so happy. Jesus came to abolish the law because there's a lot of laws I don't like.
Yin said it was interesting. We didn't talk about this, but consequences, you know, I don't want to face the consequences of law.
Yeah. That goes in line. Daniel was sharing that, you know, we don't want to deal with the guilt. That's part of the consequences of the law, the ramifications of not meeting up to the law, right? The guilt. I don't want to feel guilty or shame or not a good feeling. Yeah.
I think what we shared about in our group was fascinating, that Kai and Janine said that they saw this movie called, I forgot the name of it, but they saw this movie where they said the laws of the land were not able to be upheld or something, right? Mm-hmm. And so one day a year, the government said, we're going to have one day a year where there's no law.
Oh.
Like there's no law. So that you get to have what your wish is, right? Like this, all the laws are taken away just for one day a year.
Okay.
And then they said, Kai or Judy, you guys could clarify, but they said that what Kai said was fascinating in the movie is that the people that you thought were the nicest or on the outside, like your friend or your neighbor, or they treat you well, on that one day when there's no law, you get to see what's really inside their heart, what's really inside. That they're coming after you to kill you or whatever. Yeah. They want to do bad to you. Okay. But even though when there is law, they behave under the law as best they could. Okay. But the actual day where law is taken away, they show what's really inside of them. And when he said that to me, I was like, wow, that's very preachable, right? That's a very big concept that we could get around. That when there's law, we try to behave, but the whole reason why we don't want laws is because if there was no law on that day, then we can truly let our true colors show. Right. And he said the whole movie is very violent and very, I was asking, is that a movie I could watch with my family? And they're like, no, probably not.
No. Yeah. Okay, that's a movie we can watch just as three, huh?
Right.
Okay.
I think that was an interesting point. Kai made,
it goes back to the heart. Mm-hmm. Right, what's hidden in the heart. I mean, this discussion can go a lot deeper and longer. I think it'll definitely take a few weeks to draw this out, but I think that's what Jesus is definitely alluding to. Even after this particular verse, the next 10 verses or a paragraph is going to be dealing with the heart. Yeah, you can put the law in place, but the heart doesn't change, and that's, keep that in the back of your mind. But when the law is there, no one likes it because it, I think you mentioned freedom, right? Everyone wants freedom. The law restricts my freedom. And I don't like it. I want to feel better. I want to do it my way. That's what Daniel said, right? I want to do it my way. I want my personal freedom. That's why I want to take the law away, abolish the law. Anyone else?
Well, our group says that we do not want to be controlled.
Yeah, we don't want to be controlled, right? And because we want to express who we are we also said that in our group, we don't want to be controlled because we want our flesh to do what it wants to do. Mm-hmm. We don't want the laws getting in the middle of it. Right.
And you know, our group actually towards the end had a very interesting topic that came up because people would want the law to go away because we tend to want to bulk, right? We don't want somebody's rule or law to control us.
Yeah.
In our group, we have several people who actually says, you know what? I am by nature law abiding.
Yes.
When there's law, right. I just that's want good. To follow it. That's the way I'm made. And it's interesting to say if there's actually no law, I then feel kind of like aimless and chaotic. Mm-hmm. But that's very interesting, right? Because that's like the flip side of things. I can't believe that only those few people in our group are like that. There's probably others in the group too. I tend to swing that I don't like to follow the rule, right? But then there are people who swings like I want rules and I want to follow them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. And there, some people are just more prone to give me some structure, put the limitations on, because I feel safer in there. And I think there's nothing wrong inherently with that either. that still is under the umbrella of the morality, the law in itself. That we are bound under this law that we all need to kind of be confined to, whether you like it or not. What's interesting is this. I think that's a good lead-in, Pastor James, into our next slide. And we'll see if these people still want the law, even if you enjoy the law, right? I think this is what Jesus is addressing. This diagram helped me understand the law, sin, and grace over the past 20, 30 years. It's not a perfect diagram, but it really helps me. And I hopefully it helps you too, to kind of better get a better understanding of the law, right? Because the law doesn't stand by itself. We see the law on top, right? Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So we know what the law does. The law of God, of course, that's what we're talking about. The law drives us to be conscious of sin, to know sin. That's why we feel guilty. That's why we feel, I can't do this. That's what the law is there to do. And let me suggest that even for the people who love the law, hey, I like the law. You may not like the law if you suddenly realize that God's law is so high, so perfect, that you cannot fulfill that law. And that even for those of you who love the law, will be condemned by the law. That sounds like, really harsh language, not a really fun, loving word for a Sunday morning, but it is the word of God, because the law drives us right here to sin. That's the only direction that the law will drive us to know that, when I see the law, all I see is my real identity as a sinful person, right? For I know my transgressions, this is what David said, and my sin is always before me. So law exists to point out our sin and our inadequacies before holy God. I think in Paul's words, he even said that it was meant to be our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, right? So once the law is there, but before I go on, any questions? Are you guys seeing this side of the equation for now? Does that make sense? Yeah. So feel free to chime in, guys. I love discussions. I much rather have discussions. So this law drives us, points us to sin. And then once we understand we have sin, that's where we feel the guilt and the shame and all the bad feeling that comes around, that comes from knowing the law. And that's why all the people that were listening to Jesus, they were hoping that he would abolish the law, because I think they were feeling shame and guilt and weakness and just, I don't want to be accountable. I want more freedom. I don't like this feeling before God's law. It's too hard. And someone want to say something? So once we are here, the purpose of being here, once we feel the inadequacy, the poor in spirit, right, that we are spiritually inadequate, it should drive us to the Savior, to the grace and mercy right, to the solution, which is Jesus. Who is Jesus? In Titus 3:4, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, right? But because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And this grace and mercy saves us from the law and sin. And it goes back to the law, right? And then we begin to love the law, like the law, follow God's law. So it's this cycle. But the cycle continues today, but the difference is there's grace and mercy. And we are, hopefully we're flowing here more and more as we grow in Christ, right? But there's one comment that Dan and I were talking about. The thing is, you know, a lot of people don't want the law because they feel bad when they can't meet up to the law, and they feel shame and guilt. For Christians, we feel the same too. But we do have an out. We can go to Jesus, and he takes our shame and guilt away. I think that's a main difference. Does this diagram, what do you guys, does anyone want to speak to this diagram? Do you guys see this playing out in your life? Do you find yourself in this diagram, in this process?
I have a question. So speaking to God's law, is it possible for us to, I understand that God's law will reveal our sin, but will God's law also directly reveal his love? I feel like in that sin circle, I feel like it's missing love, God's love in there. I don't know if it's like, you know, it's probably like a two-step process, or is it possible that God's law, we could see God's love in it, which then leads us to grace and mercy, which makes the law even more understandable for us. You know, seeing just sin there, I get that that's in there and that's part of the process, but I feel like maybe there's love in there too. Maybe almost simultaneously, the more we go through the cycle throughout our lives.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, maybe the love.
Yeah, I can see it might hover there too. I'm just wondering, right. Will the law lead us directly to, can the law lead us directly to see God's love? I don't know, it may not be in the children's nature to see it that way. I'm trying to process this in my own head. But I wonder, you know, the more you know God the Father, would you see God's love quicker, faster, understanding it, leading it directly to seeing his grace and mercy and over and over again? I just wonder, you know, it's a relationship.
Yeah. I think I see what you're getting at. I think that's a good point. And you're right, it's a quicker route. It should be a quicker route.
Hey,
yes, did you want to say something?
That's Alex. Can you guys hear me? I'm not sure if I'm on or not. I'm on the car. So I think, Nancy?
Yes.
Just to kind of speak to Nancy's question, I think it's a great question. And I'm just going to share like two thoughts. It just kind of jumped that. Part of it is love is already in the picture there, right? Even though Frank didn't like put the word, like spell the love there. the psalmist knew that, or the Israelites' view of even.
You're cutting out. The psalmist knew that, I think what he's saying. You're cutting out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Okay, sorry. Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. So I think the cycle itself is a representation of God's love for us. And even what Frank said earlier, the fulfillment of the law, I think that's where he's going to go to, is like, I think it's Romans 13. You know, you guys could probably check my homework on that. But like Romans 13 says that it is love that actually fulfills all of this. Right. So by knowing God's law, I think, Nancy, you're right. It's just not like spelled out. I don't think the word love is like written on there. But it is, this whole process is the demonstration of God's love. You know, it is a quicker route. It is the route, I think. Does that make sense? Sorry if that was like jumbled up. I'll put myself back on mute.
No, that was good. Thank you.
Yeah. There is definitely love in this entire process. And I think what you said, Nancy, was it does make sense that the law does, it becomes a quicker route as we are growing in Christ, right? That the law, though we know that the law points out our sin, we understand the love of God, that he has died in place of our sin. And it goes to mercy because of his grace and mercy. We begin to love the law. And the psalmist, David, actually says that. And we actually we'll look at a verse that says that. And we begin to love his law more and more. Why is that? Because there's an inherent heart issue. God changes us, not just on the outside. Right? We're talking about, it's not just moral behavior. I know that in the past few weeks, we talked about how China teaches the I don't want to say China, because I think the world teaches moral behavior, right? Moral behavior. And the moral behavior is the standard, right? We do things right. And we do it right on the surface, but no one addresses the heart. They cannot, but God addresses the heart because of his love. His Holy Spirit changes our heart, regenerates our heart so that we are able to begin to love his law. And God's love is shown through that.
Yeah, can I comment here? So
yes.
Yeah, I love Nancy's comment, right? So you don't want to sin, and then what if we can, from the law itself, see God's love? Mm-hmm. And as a parent, we set laws for our children out of love. I think every parent can relate to that. Every kid might hear, you know, my house, my rule, and they hated that. Mm-hmm. But it is out of love, right? Very simply put, like, for example, you can't touch the fire or, set boundaries so you don't, toddlers don't put their fingers into outlets. I mean, it's restricting your freedom, but it's obviously for your benefit. And as the kids grow up, you know, you might put more laws on the kid, you know, just like how many of the kids are playing piano. You know, if it's complete freedom, then you can just smash the keys and that's freedom. But the other more ultimate form of freedom is that you can use the instrument to play the most amazing music. Isn't that the higher level freedom that everyone wants to achieve? Like if you see those masters, Mozart playing piano, he's completely free. on a higher level, then you're just smashing the keys whatever way you want, right? So in a sense, we talk about that. You mentioned that there are members, I think Pastor James mentioned that group members, they feel like they are law abiding. Like in human nature, there is also a desire to do good, to fulfill, you know, the best version of yourself. And then if you can't do that, you feel frustrated. But God, out of his love, he enabled us to fulfill these laws so that we can reach that ultimate level of freedom. And so I think from there, in this perspective, I can see God's love. I want to be myself, but I don't know what's the best for myself. But in setting these laws, yeah. God knows, because he created us. He knows what's best for ourselves. And he not only point the way, but also lead us toward that goal. So God's love is totally there.
Mm, I love the comment about that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's so good. Thanks, Louis. That's that's a great example of, you know, playing the piano. What you're saying, again, I want to camp on this a little bit more. You know, we only have a few minutes left, but our true freedom, God is actually loving us by giving us true freedom, right? By saving us and by telling us, hey, this is how you really enjoy who you are, by not hurting yourself. Because if there were no law, if I actually abolished the law will point you to sin, and sin will bring you to death, for the wages of sin is death. And that's no freedom at all. Because the law is going to condemn you to sin, everybody. And that's not freedom. That's basically allowing you to go into the spiral of sin and where it captures you to the end, which is death. But rather, the love of Christ is helping us to say, I'm going to give you true freedom. You think your identity is just in what you think you are? I'm going to give you a true identity, which is true freedom, which is freedom in Jesus, freedom from sin, freedom from yourself, from the flesh, so that you can play that masterpiece, that, right? So you know how to use the keys correctly, because I created the keys. I created you. So you can apply yourself correctly and become a better version of yourself. That's good, Liu Ying. I didn't, wasn't in my notes, but I think you helped clarify that for all of us. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think, you know, Liu Ying, that was a really good, analogy of playing like the piano. I was just thinking like, when it comes to like the law, right, we keep what, like, our natural tendency is to keep what we want and do what we want, right? But I think when you experience, like, obviously, like, God's mercy and grace, you have that capacity, right, to, in a sense, not, you know, you don't complete the law, but you have a sense to live out that law in your life because you desire it, because you understand, like, the way he designed is out of love. But I was thinking, like, you know, with the whole like masterpiece and the like Mozart's and stuff, like when he gets to where he is after all the practice and after like following certain laws, right? Actually, if you think about it, people who hear his music are blessed by it, you know? So I'm thinking in terms of like for us Christians who live out life the way that God has, you know, designed for us. Right. And not out of rules, but out of our love to live out that that life. It kind of goes back to like the whole point of being like light in this world, right? That there's that purpose of being a blessing to others in the way we live our life for Christ.
Frank, I know we're coming up to the end of the class today. I think you want to continue this a bit next week if that's your plan. But I just think one thing left to make it really succinct for us to think, which Nancy led us through and Liu Ying sharing, is our concept of the law of God God gave us law out of his love. The Old Testament laws were given out of God's love for his people. That concept is something I think we can benefit from meditating on, because our human understanding of the law usually is restriction. That's our experience in life, is any law is restriction. It's to hinder me, it's to control me. But not so with God's law. God, out of his love for his creation, his people, he gave law out of his love. And you said it, Frank, the problem we have today with the law is, though the law was given out of love, we were not able to fulfill it because of our sin. And so law became, right, you were quoting from Romans, the law became something detestable to us. That's not because of the law itself or God. It's because of us, because of our sin. And therefore, the grace and the mercy is what actually brings, see, Nancy, the grace and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ is actually what brings us back into the love of God.
Yeah, Pastor James, that's a good point. The law was given for our benefit. It was love to begin with, and it was love to end with, because he loved us so much. He sees our sinful nature dragging us down, and he sees how the law became detestable in a burden, in a rock, in a burden, a yoke on us, that he came to free us by his grace and mercy. And yes, there is so much more to this that we have yet to cover. We'll get into it next week a little bit more, and how Jesus did not come to abolish the law. And we'll look at the second part of it, how he fulfilled the law, right, for our benefit. Why did he fulfill the law, and how did he do it? So we'll look into that next week. So 10:33, I think we're right on time. Children worship teachers can go, and then you guys can start praying for Pastor Alex. If you guys want a good sermon, he needs the prayer. He wants the prayer. So gives you some time to prepare for worship. Would someone like to pray for us and pray for Pastor Alex this morning? I'm going to point to the person. It's always Jonathan, right? Is it Jonathan again? No, I won't. Anybody who wants to pray for us would be fine. I won't point.
Come on, Jonathan. Pray for us.
All right.
Okay. Pray. Thanks, Jonathan.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this class today, Lord, that we can just go over the just laws, Lord, whether they be your laws, the laws of the world, laws that are necessary, Lord. But as believers, as Christians, as your children, we believe that there is nothing wrong with your law, Lord, that we delight to follow your law, that we try our best to obey your laws, Lord, because they are fair. You are just, and we know that your laws are made to love us, just like our parents make rules and laws for us. They are out of love, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you hold us in a place where we follow your law, Lord, that we are not chaotic people. We are not a people of chaos, because, Lord, we have your peace, Lord. And there's a story of two women in the Bible, Euodia and Syntyche, Lord. They are arguing, and Paul uses their example that your peace is not just for people who have it all together. Your peace is for everyone, Lord. Your peace is it holds us. It calms us, Lord. You calm us. You are the one who walks upon the waters and silences all fear. You hold our hand, you part the seas, and you guide us with your law, with your way, Lord. And we thank you for that. And I want to pray for Pastor Alex that you would just anoint his lips, that you would speak through him, using him as your faithful servant, that you would grant him the words, that you would speak through him and to us, Lord. And I thank you for this time, and I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.